It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 840.
What's happening, guys? What's going on? Happy hump day, Gronks. How are we?
Talking about a hump day, I was listening to it. If you haven't listened to it, just go and type in hump day replay on your favorite podcast app and you can listen there. You were on hump day for a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice to receive a call. It was my birthday, so I was pretty pissed that I had to take it, but, you know, I did. Georgie boy, what I love about George's project, i.e. Hump Day Replay, is that he's sort of flexing that creative muscle of, you know, trying to sort of work out how to connect our show, because it is the show about the show, Hump Day, with his show. Yep. And so, one of the ways we were talking about being in the local paper, and I don't know, did you mention that you've been in the local paper before or no?
I have mentioned it a few times. There was a time.
It was the Wanted or the Boy Missing. Which one?
No. It was the, yeah, a bit of both. No, but it was actually, I had a few. There was me as with a lamb. Should we play the audio from the app?
Yeah. So, he's recorded a bit and here it is.
I've got a little bit of a challenge for you for the Daily Talk Show.
Sure.
You talked about how you got the local paper the other day, the Eastern Edition.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how you could, if it was possible, to get an ad in there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I've submitted one.
What are they? Is it that easy? Are they free?
They're free. Can you open up the paper and see if we get in?
I'll do a little work of where I actually can get this from, because I picked it up off a park bench.
Okay. So, yeah, we're talking local papers. I found one. And it's interesting just to see what's in these things and how they're even operating. I worked out where you could get them. George sent me a text message last night and said he gave me the address of a local news agency, and I found it because it was at the end of my street. I went in this morning and got one of the local papers, and the guy said to me, he said, one only.
One.
I said, oh. I'm glad I thought this quickly. I said, what about five? Can I take five? He's like, one. I was like, just kidding.
What was he?
He loved
was
it. He,
oh, okay. So he wasn't.
He was serious though. They are free. I mean, it says free on the front, but he just said one only.
And so the interesting thing was when you brought up the local paper last week.
Yes.
The local paper was like a southeast Eastern paper. It wasn't
Bullying, the Eastern Edition. No, it was Eastern Edition, and we're in the East.
Yeah.
This is, there it is.
Okay.
Eastern Edition. And so, yeah, it's a free local paper.
Okay.
It's called the local paper. It's like where the Daily Talk Show. It's, the descriptive is in the name.
It's great. Like you've never handled a newspaper before. You're really struggling.
Dude, they are wonky as shit.
It's
you hold
like
it up
age,
and it's,
you know, just fucking
far
like,
out. Anyway, George, your ad's not in there, mate.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm getting old. I may need my magnifying glass like my grandpa used to have, but I cannot see your ad in there. I've gone to the there's stuff about, Clayton's drug bust. We've got the cat curfew that's happening in 2021 in Monash.
How can you have a curfew for cats?
Well, mate, cats
have to be indoors.
They should just be indoors all the time. They're setting in place a sundown to sunrise curfew for cats. I like that they do dot point summaries in these articles. 96% of the non-cat owners support a nighttime curfew. Of course they do.
Yeah.
The majority of cat owners, 61% who responded, also supported the proposed curfew. So there's, 39?
Yeah, so 39% of people. Do they just not have a good setup indoors for the cat? Is that the concern?
Maybe they just didn't get a response from 39% of people that they didn't finish it. Most cat owners, 73%, already kept their cats in at night, and those who opposed a cat curfew believed it was hard to contain cats at night, and they don't believe that people should wear masks.
Actually, when I was staying at my parents, when we came back from our long trip, we spent a couple of months at mum and dad's, and the my cat, she gets put in a spot, like she would get put in a an area of the house,
yeah,
where there's like a for whatever reason, with the sliding doors and stuff, they needed to put hard things up against the door,
yeah,
so that my cat couldn't get through the door. I couldn't slide the door open.
No, that's good, mate. They can bloody escape those things. Hang on, I'll just... imagine I'm holding a bloody... The Age. Anyway, I've got an ad here. This is great. It's not George's ad, but this guy deserves some props. He's taken out a full sort of quarter-page spread, and he says, looking for a professional to run the show. And then he's got... Ted Ryan. He's a compere, an auctioneer, promotions, A-grade journalist, voiceover, commercials, race caller, all sports, race nights, TV, radio and press, respected member of the media. This guy is an ultimate slashy.
What's his name?
His name's Ted Ryan. And Ted, he's even Ryan. Got an email address that's optusnet.com.au. Oh,
perfect. Ted Ryan.
Ted Ryan.
Some videos done.
Dude, it's
some dynamic cards here.
It is a circus in this local paper, but anyway, it's not in here. And I'm looking in the classified section in the back, and it says this is where you can get your free ad. Mm-hmm. It's not here, George. Mate, I'd be contacting them this morning to find out where our ad is.
Well, Mr. 97 said that he's like, oh, George has organised this great thing for Tommy. I don't think it's actually going to be in there. I'm like, why? He said, because he didn't receive any confirmation email. I was like, yeah. I feel like for a free ad, you would want a confirmation email that just went through.
George is, you know, he's had it tough this week. His cat munched through his Ethernet cable for his internet, for the internet box.
Oh no! Annoying to replace the router.
Luckily, he had a friend had one, and so he got it. His internet ran out. He was on 200 gigabyte limit, and he went over. He left it on. Somehow he used 30 gigabytes over the weekend. I was like, mate, what? How?
I know he's how like, he would have done it. Be gone.
He reckons he left Spotify streaming all day, all night.
No. That wouldn't be. Do you know what it was? It was Masterclass. I reckon I was watching him, I'm like, mate, you're watching Masterclass. How much bandwidth do you have? It's real high res stuff.
Oh, but, dude.
I mean, there's something with the newspaper thing. Would you call it old fashioned, the newspaper?
Mate, it's old fashioned. It's old fashioned.
So I did the telehealth thing last night. So first, I'll tell you about the whole experience. So as I mentioned yesterday, Bree's fucking worried that I'm terminally ill or something, just because I've been fucking sick for a week, and she's like, "You got to, you know, get sorted, do it just for me."
Yeah.
And so I'm like, "Cool." Okay, okay. I'm like, I don't want to create any pain for you based on my sickness, so I'll do whatever I need to do.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and so she. She said, okay, well, we'll book you in with telehealth. She did it for me, which is very nice. Don't like admin, but I understand I probably shouldn't be looking after those things. Don't have a Medicare card yet. Still on the family Medicare card. Have to get mum to send a photo every time I need my Medicare card.
Oh, dude, tell me about it. I was on that for many, many years. 30th should be the sort of full stop of that. That's a good
idea. Yeah, I like that idea. Actually, the other thing I was thinking, just very quickly, Vic Rhodes sent me our Rego... I think it's every quarter or something, because like the car's the like Full Stack Films business car. I was thinking, we got like $280 or whatever. I was like, fuck, can't really use the car at the moment. Do you think it's a Gronk move to call up and go, guys, COVID, I can't fucking use the car. What's the deal with the roads? Or do I just pay?
They won't do it.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Anyway, so back to the doctor. So I was expecting some sort of Zoom call, like telehealth. It sounds fancy. I feel like I'm going to be on this Zoom call this sort of interactive thing where it will be able to, you know, fucking work everything out. And I look at my Google, Bree had sent me a calendar invite. I'm like, hey, babe, where's the link to connect? And she goes, oh, no, they'll just call you. I was like, okay. So they're just going to call me on the phone, all right, whatever. And so I waited. I get a call from a doctor. I hadn't seen him before. And he was asking what was wrong. And Bree was like, oh, how'd you go? Because at one point you said, I'm not a doctor. So I said that to the, because I think he was saying, oh, like, he asked a question that would be something around, do you think like it could be tonsillitis? Like it was something like that. And I was like, mate, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. That's what I'm calling
that
you.
That is a great response to a doctor.
Yeah, I'm not.
Usually it's a caveat around, hey, I'm thinking. Look, I'm not a doctor, but.
Well, so that's the whole thing. I went the other way. I'm like, mate, I'm not a doctor. That's why I'm calling you. Like, that's why I'm on the phone with you. And so anyway, he's like, well, it's hard to work out anything on the phone. Fuck yeah, it is. He's like, look, I'm not even joking. He said, I can send a fax to the pharmacist and you can get antibiotics. And I said, and this is the time where I'm like, even though I'm not a doctor, I'm like, I know I've probably just watched too many documentaries, but should I not be careful about, you know, how much antibiotics, you know, I'm don't want to take antibiotics if I don't actually have an infection. Yes. He's like, okay. Yeah, no, yeah, he goes, yeah, no, we have been criticized for giving out antibiotics just sort of willy-nilly, I understand. Yeah. And then I said, how about I take a photo of my throat? Like, because the thing is, he's saying, like, I've got big glands, like I've got my right side's like, he's like, is it the size of a golf ball? I think it's fucking hard to, like, no, like it might be, like it's hard to tell. Like, I'm like, I can feel the surface of it, but it's like, I can't feel the whole, I can't grab the whole thing. And so anyway, I said, can I take a photo of my throat? And then you can just see if it does look like tonsillitis or if I don't know what fucking tonsillitis is, but like, is it inflamed or whatever? He's like, he said, call me old fashioned, but I don't think I want to do that.
What does that mean?
That's what was so bizarre about it, because I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you know, if you're going to a doctor, you don't want to go to a fucking Sovereign Hill. Like, you want to go to, like, I don't want, a doctor is something, like, is there any good in a doctor that is old fashioned? Like, what is old fashioned?
Did he mean old fashioned because he couldn't receive, he wouldn't know how to receive a photo of your throat?
I think that it was a little bit sort of, a bit prudish, a bit like, oh, call me old fat. Well, I'm not going to, I don't want to look at your fucking throat on my phone.
What the fuck?
That's a vibe that I got. So anyway, I was like, but so it then, and the funny thing is, he's like, was there anything else? Oh, no, I think that Bree must have put in a few things that were wrong with me. Yeah. And I was like, he's like, oh, is there anything else? And then Bree sitting next to me, I was like, oh, was there anything else? Bree's like, your bloody nose, your nose, how it's bleeding. I was like, and it was really disruptive when you're in a doctor's appointment and you have someone, and I literally said, sorry, my girlfriend's just coaching me on the side here. I've also got a bloody nose. And so where it ended up was, he said, isn't it boring people talking about their health stuff? But I will finish the story. He just said, okay, well, on Friday, the pathologist is there. So if I still have, like, I've booked in an appointment, and so they'll fucking take bloods and do all this sort of thing. So I did say, that was the other thing. So when he said, ah, oh, bit old fashioned. And so I just said, so I just sort of wait here and die then.
You said that?
Yeah, I said that. Here and die there. He goes, oh, I don't think that will happen. I said, well, my girlfriend thinks I've got cancer. That's what fucking mum and Bree talking, fucking hyperbolic. And so, but the thing, like, yeah, so it was very annoying. And so I don't know if I want to go to an old-fashioned doctor. I want someone that's fucking gets me on a Aura ring and is checking my fucking, you know, connection to my smartwatch.
Quick finger up the bum, see what's going on. No, no, that's old fashioned.
That's old fashioned. Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't even go. He didn't even want a throat pick, yeah, let alone a finger in the bum.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like, are these hemorrhoids?
Oh, dude. I think
this
it's
is my current stool. Like, hey, I've been collecting photos of my shit for the last 6 weeks. I think I've got a problem, or I'm just eating beetroot.
Dude, do you know my brother lived with a guy who kept.
I don't have bloody feces, by the way.
That was stool. He's kept his stool in the freezer in a box.
Oh, no. That's psychopath behavior.
Because he needed to collect them. No, he needed to collect them for some kind of medical thing. Like, he must have been sending them off.
Shit in bags.
In a fucking share house, dude. Imagine experiencing that shit.
Oh, mate. I've just made a smoothie and the frozen bananas taste like shit. Geez, they're real brown, aren't they? I thought that when you put them in the freezer, they don't go brown. But I've had one and it fucking tastes like shit. Actual shit. It's just like, I was just looking, really panicked. Oh, you didn't use the second one.
This is not a green smoothie. Yeah, no.
Anyway, so.
We had a telehealth appointment for Bodhi. And I open with, the Google doctors at daycare have told us that.
Well, that's the whole thing. I think that there is the bit where I'm like, low status. So at the beginning, very low status. I'm not a doctor. And then by the end, when he says fucking old fashioned or that sort of thing, I'm just like, look, if you are going to meet me with such a silly comment around like just being old fashioned. I should have asked him, what do you mean? What does that mean? Old fashioned? Send me your throat. I'll tell you what's wrong. Like,
do you reckon? Did he sound old?
Yeah, he's an old English guy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there would be a lot of people struggling with that sort of over the phone. Rather, like, you only realise after probably doing it for that long that you're relying so much on sort of face to face.
The whole thing's weird.
I think we think that a doctor who's had all this. All these years of studying is some sort of great communicator. But I've had sort of doctors that are stoic. They don't say much. They're like, you're like thinking, what the fuck's going on? And then you get the other side, which is a super caring, like very thoughtful, you know, catering to, like, but that's human skill. That's a skill set for communicating with another human.
But it shows how communication can be the difference between working out if someone has a disease or not. Like, Brie, that's what, like, Brie was fucking using stats. She was saying, oh, do you know, like, at the moment, like, fucking breast cancer, like, it's, like, down at the moment. Like, they're just, like, and you hear those stories, right, of doctors, like, yeah, I went to the doctor and they said, oh, I've just got a cold and now I'm fucking about to die. Like, you do hear, but I'm not a, what's it called when you're really worried about
hypochondriac? Spencer?
Yeah, I'm not a hyper. Like, if anything, I'm the opposite. Where it's like, I know this is going to work out. I know, like, I've been drinking, you know, vitamin C. I've been drinking, you know, orange juice. I'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. I mean, he's gone. Did he suggest a blood test?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because actually of the death a way thing. To I
think
work
that
out.
I think that I worried him. I think that I sort of created this fear because he's like, we can swab you. We can do all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, a blood test just actually tells you if you have an infection in your body. It's the easiest way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people are guessing. But anyway, worth doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the telehealth thing is a unique experience. Mm.
So I mentioned yesterday about David Blaine.
Oh, is he alive?
So David Blaine. So straight after we did the episode, I went onto YouTube to make sure that I sort of was all ready and raring to go. And it was him I think it looked like sort of the Grand Canyon, sort of like it's Arizona way. Yep. And it's just him saying, hey, the new date is September 2. And so anyway, I'm just reading a Variety headline here. David Blaine postpones helium balloon flight YouTube live stream, relocate stunt from New York City to Arizona.
Okay. So he's moved it based on weather.
I didn't actually know it was going to be in New York, but yeah. So David Blaine nixed his plan to float over the Hudson River from New Jersey to New York City, strapped to a bunch of helium balloons, blaming logistical challenges. Instead, the magician and performer will attempt to perform the stunt, which is being bankrolled by YouTube as an original live streaming special more than 2,000 miles away in Arizona.
Wow. And I'm glad it's going ahead. So it's tonight. I mean, this is the great thing about...
No, the problem is...
Tomorrow.
Yeah, with the Australian tomorrow time thing. Tomorrow, because of the States. So, yeah, he said early morning their time.
Yeah.
Here you go. So, contingent on the weather in Arizona, his stump will lift off either September 1 or 2 at 6 a.m. Pacific time. Everything is wind dependent, he said, encouraging fans to set a reminder on YouTube, on the YouTube live stream page.
So it's 3:50 p.m. on the 1st of September in Arizona currently, at this moment. So, so it will be happening tomorrow.
So it'll be 12. So what time did I say? Was it 6? 6 a.m.?
I think you said 6.
Yeah, 6 a.m.
So tomorrow.
So if it's 3 p.m. Yeah, yeah.
It's in 12 hours. Yeah, it's going to be nighttime again still for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay up?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to do that.
You stay up?
Yeah, it's something to fucking do.
Call me old-fashioned, but no, don't you think? Just something to do, you know?
Don't you agree?
It is something to look forward to. It's something to sort of put in the calendar.
Like, I would love to... Like, let's definitely... Like, I haven't been on Discord for a while. It actually popped up on my desktop, and I saw Jake from down the road was saying that he was worried about a something about Mary incident with your jeans.
Oh, no.
Based on your not wearing undies. And then I just remembered that was one of the funniest moments in a film is, so he zips his nut into the jeans, and then my favourite bit is they cut to an ambulance and it's just a paramedic saying, "We have a bleeder!" And it just makes me laugh. It's very funny.
That was a line that was thrown around.
Yeah.
We've got a bleed. We have a bleeder. Yeah. I have also clipped my dick in my zip.
Oh, no.
Due to no underwear. It happens. Uh-huh. It happens. It's a part of the game. Mm-hmm. Call me old fashioned. But that's just a part of the deal, dude.
Part of the deal. It's a bit of a raw deal, isn't it?
It's definitely raw. Yeah. That's for sure. You may have seen. On the Daily Talk Show Instagram. Josh, I know you. Are you still on there? Are you back on?
To do it less, but no, I think I mentioned it on the weekend. I had someone reach out about something that was sort of important, and I was like, fuck. I need to just be looking at my DMs a little bit.
Okay, you're getting important shit in there.
Yeah.
What's going on in the DMs?
Or just like clients that are just like, hey, Josh, got this project. It's like,
oh great.
Like, yeah.
Mate, don't say that Instagram doesn't pay off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All those hours spent.
No, I was like, fuck, that would have been, if I hadn't written back, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Well, I think that it would have been very much delayed.
Okay, no, good.
Yeah, what have
I'm
missed?
All for it. But no, you have seen the video. I made a video of Bodhi, myself and Amy doing a bear hunt around the house. So we've teamed up with Melbourne Legacy for the Legacy Bear Hunt, and this is cute. And so I was saying I was waiting on the package, and I was waiting on my birthday present. It turned out your birthday present. We've got so many packages. Amy's still waiting on 5 packages. It's all because we're moving house, so she's buying all this shit. Anyway,
you said she saw the new couch in the video. Is that true?
Yes,
you got the new couch. You love
the new couch. Love it. It's actually really good.
It's a great couch.
I haven't farted on it yet.
It's a fart catcher. What's the... Can you call it... Like, just as a... Like, I think it's a good quality... Where'd you get it from again?
Mate, it's a lounge level. I asked you. You told me. Mate. I told Amy. Yeah, she made the purchase. Yeah. I forgot.
If you want to get...
you and I have both forgot.
If you're looking
you
for
and I are
couch.
The ones that actually shared the links.
Yeah.
But we have forgot.
We are the second brain somehow. I've forgotten. Yeah. But no, I think that, yeah, if you're interested in a really good couch, Pete Shepherd, Tall Gronk, who's on Hump Day Replay, he has that couch.
Does he? Mm-hmm. No way. Did you tell him or did you get it off Pete?
We got it off. Isn't it funny when something's a good product, it just sort of moves around. So it went from our friend Mirta, and she yeah. had it. And then when Pete moved into his new place, he was looking for a couch, and he was asking about the couch we had at the time. And Bree yep. said, "Here's a couch that's even better, and it's like very like how easy was the delivery? It's all very easy. Mate,
one box, just whack on the legs, just yeah. screw them in, done." That's what I like about it. I don't want to have to do shit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to do more than just screw on some legs.
And so there's definitely a bit of a couch club forming of everyone having this couch. It's called the Marie is the name of the couch. Marie. I feel like yeah. it's from Lounge Lovers or something. It's under a grand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good value.
I think it was, yeah, $800 or $900.
Yeah.
Which seems quite good for, it's dubbed as the three-seater. And so, yeah, we're very happy with that. And it did feature in this latest video. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say, go and look at the video. Mm-hmm. In the video, it explains how you can get involved. just for the couch. Just yeah. for the couch. If you want to see the couch. But also, if you want to get behind a great charity. So, Melbourne Legacy, they're supporting. How's it work? So, they're supporting families who have been impacted by somebody who's served in, say, the army mm-hmm. or, you know, the Air Force in Australia. And they're connecting those families with organisations that support them because it's like it's not just the person who serves that's impacted. And so, it's actually the whole family. And so, this organisation, Melbourne Legacy, does that. And so, we've got behind them and we've and they're doing this legacy bear hunt, which is so – these bears are so fucking cute. Mm. Brody took one to the coffee shop with us and was showing the guy.
They're real primo looking, aren't they? They're real, like, real good bears, actually, mate. nice quality bears.
I went upstairs last night, and this is, I don't have them here. They're in Bodie's bed. He went up, mm-hmm. he had them in his bed, sleeping with them. It was so cute.
I could get it, like, anyway. The whole bear hunt thing, like, watching Bodie do it. It's like, fuck it, I would get around. Like, what he was feeling, I found it. I was like, man, I would be like that. Like, I would. It would be nice. I'm looking forward to a time where we can go somewhere. I'm imagining, like, it reminded me of, like, Easter egg hunts. Like, I like like, we need to do an Easter one year where we go somewhere regional that's bigger, that's got a bunch of greenery and stuff.
Yeah.
And so we can hide eggs and I can fucking elbow Bodie in the head for, like, the last egg. Like, I'm pumped.
Mate.
You just fight for something.
It's an old school game. Mate, he is an addict. So yesterday he was wild, and I said to my neighbor, I walked into their place because he fucking mm-hmm. he runs into their house, goes underneath the garage door, like rolls under like he's fucking Tom Cruise from mm-hmm. Mission Impossible, and then next minute he's out the back of their joint. So not on. Very rude. Sometimes he even goes into their drawer and takes food.
Oh, no.
Absolute animal. And so I said, I'm so sorry. He's being very, very naughty at the moment, and he's being an absolute
pain in the bum. Is this Michelle Tim's place or who?
No. This is next door. Anyway, I said, yeah, he's been really naughty lately, and it's struggling. He said, mm-hmm. but is he? Or is it your, you know, ability to handle it? It wasn't in that way, but it was. It was a light bulb moment because it's like he hasn't changed. It's mm-hmm. it's your capacity to deal mm-hmm. with the bullshit.
Does the neighbor have kids?
Well, she grew up single mum with uh-huh. two twins, uh-huh. and so okay, she sure. knows about naughty boys. And so I was like, mate, that is some fucking. It was a moment where I was like, oh my god, that is so true. It's he's not doing fault. Anything different. It's all my, no, but it is.
So what do you take from it? How do you take it so you don't just feel guilty?
No, I didn't feel guilty. I was like, it's so true because it's just, you know, sometimes you can't deal with shit. You know, that I can't deal with this right now. It's like that in itself is explaining that there are some times mm-hmm. where you can deal with it. But right now, it's not one of those fucking times.
Yeah.
And so, that is just the classic case of parenting.
What works with Bodie? Like, if you want to settle him down, if he's absolutely crazy, what do you do?
Mate, there's many things, like, but there's not one go-to. Uh-huh. Humans are...
Does there need to... I mean, obviously, I'm not a parent, but I do.
If they're being naughty, he's got the step, he sits on the step. and he has to cool it down, even if he's losing the plot. And so sometimes that works, or there's getting out. So it's varied. What's going on? What is the scene? Mm-hmm. And so he could be taken out. He could be. You could take him for a walk. You could take him for a drive. You could. There's. And so you have a bunch in your arsenal. It's never as simple as like, what's this one thing he knows that he has to cool down? The step is when he's naughty, he knows that. So you got to build routines around, mm-hmm. you know, things like time out. If you smack, if you are being naughty or, you know, taking chocolate.
What do your parents think of the way that you, like, discipline? Like, I could imagine parents looking at their kids and being like, oh, no, you do it this way or that way. Are your mum and dad hands-on in that regard?
Oh, the problem is, Josh, they fucking end up being little angels for the grandparents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they are legit different. Like, if Bodhi's not with us and he's with mum and dad, he's a mm-hmm. different kid. There's yeah. And you know what it's like. You know the relate. You have a yeah. Everyone has a weird relationship with their parents where mm-hmm. it's so unique. Yeah. And so kids, when they're young, they act up for their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the babysitter comes over and they're a little angel.
Yeah.
And the babysitter's like, oh, he's such a sweetie. And you're like, he's a fucking monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what are you?
But in that, you get the absolute beautiful moments of him waking up this morning and coming, like he's in bed and he's just like, comes over and kisses me on the face. And he says, a kiss for you, daddy, and a hug. And then he goes over to mum, he's a kiss for you, mummy, and a cuddle. Like, and that's the shit that you just, it pays off. That's the, all right, we're a monster yesterday and today you seem different, so let's try and tackle this day.
Do you think it's food, or what's the trigger for that sort of thing?
It's everything, man. Sugar, tiredness, maybe hungry, hasn't exercised enough, hasn't got out and about. Like, the thing is, it's like you. Try and think about your mood
mm-hmm.
and what and I mean, yeah, adults don't even have a handle of trying to sort of, you know.
About like skipping, think about getting the practices. Into skipping, that could be fun, like with a little skipping rope. Yes, to yeah, try and yeah. like.
I mean, it'll last 5 minutes. This is the thing you need to be doing constantly, having shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
But like, how could you exhaust the fuck out of him? Like, how do you just make, you know, like, if you have like a little dog or whatever, you just fucking like make it run. Like, you know what? You're going to do this for 10 minutes. We're going to go to the.
Yeah, but you're also happy to just lock a dog in a room and not really care about it.
No, from don't that, do you that. Know, bark. But people that have dogs don't do that.
Well, if you've got a, you could put a dog in a
backyard,
and it just there's a difference between a dog and a human being. As much as some might not say so, if you've got a dog, I'm sure you love it, but you also don't fucking feed your dog dried food. Actually, yes, I do. Some of the shit Bodhi eats definitely looks like dog food. Yeah. Actually, it's sounding very much similar to like a dog.
That's interesting.
No.
I do wonder, yeah, the...
But JJ, what you're saying is, what's the thing to do? It doesn't matter what the thing to do.
What's like the tool? Like, so for instance, like if it's... So, is it, and this is like... This is more just me being curious rather than fucking being like, oh, I know how to parent. Because I like
call maybe, me old fashioned, but get yeah, the spoon out. Yeah, get exactly. the wooden spoon out.
No, but I wonder what the I wonder what, like, obviously there's not one single thing that works. But so, for instance, you saying about he's great with your parents, but then he can be a little fuck with you guys. Like, how do you get it so that he's like he is with his parents? With your parents, with you, or is that just impossible?
I just think about yourself and your relationship with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
How unique is it?
But I think that part of it, but isn't it so much of it, isn't so much the way that kids respond and react based on how the parent is operating? So if the parent
The relationship the kid has with the parents, it's the parents with the kid, it's the hours on end that you have to spend with your child that creates a different relationship. It's the Bodhi doesn't see his grandparents every day. I'm sure Bodhi would probably start playing up if he was around mum and dad 24/7. Like, that's the thing. It is a unique, and humans are constantly fluctuating in emotions. Mm-hmm. Like I feel so more anxious at the moment than I have in a long time, and that has to play into. That's not just because of Bodhi, mm-hmm. you know.
And so in that case, does it mean? So like, I wonder if you are a super chill person, or you know, like the parents that are just like really sort of calm and collected all the time. Like, do you think that
they're
that,
not
that,
though? They're but do not. You think that?
But is that like a like is there not a story like there can be difficulties and all that sort of thing with being a parent, but is there not like another story that can be told which is like oh no it doesn't have to be absolutely chaotic, or do you think that like because you hear
but
that it's not a lot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like getting a negative comment and a million fucking positive ones. The negative ones impact. And so there's moments in a day. Like yesterday, we had an amazing time in the afternoon. Like he was wild and we went for a drive and he had a sleep, and then we got out of the car and we walked along the river and it was fucking magic. And so as much as I talk about some of the hard times, because they are hard, easy times – you don't work for them. You don't have to work in those moments. Mm-hmm. What you need to do in those moments is savor them, because they're not, they don't last forever. And so, nor do the hard times as well. They don't last forever, but they definitely feel more taxing on your emotions and your body than the good times. And so, oh, we had this magic. Let me just talk about the magical afternoon. Mm-hmm. We were down by the river and he took his shoes off and he's just sitting in the sort of little rocks and we're watching this beautiful stream go by. There was kookaburras and he's talking to some people that were sitting on the seat and it was just magic. He was playing with this little colourful bug, trying to put rocks on it and suffocate it. But I was like, do you, mate, do you? And I just sat there just sniffing some fresh, fresh air and was fucking happy.
Mask.
And I took an amazing photo of him and I was like, this is chalk and cheese. Beautiful photo of him just playing, rubbing his hands in the dirt. Mm-hmm. And then the next photo is him, bare bum, taking a piss. I was like, that's his fucking Bodhi jacket, just sitting there playing like an angel, next minute just pissing on the tree.
I mean, the thing with parenting in some regards is it's like, because it's the one thing that you get, like you're always told, like never fucking, like don't tell people how to parent, right? Don't tell people, you don't know what it's like, or even like other parents, right? Like you as a parent, don't fucking tell another person how to parent. Is there not potentially a missed opportunity in growth and development in trying to like figure out these things, or to like listen, or do you know what I mean? Like I feel like
but what's the end goal? What's the end goal though? Because if one thing you know for sure is that there's going to be tough times, and so I know you go to what are the tools, what are the things you can do, what do you know that will work.
It's not about removing tough. It's not about removing tough times. I think like it just. I feel like it's how do you create mechanisms so that a kid who's not feeling great or is playing up doesn't fuck up your day. Like I know it's impossible not to impact your day.
No, but the thing that's the thing. Your day doesn't need. I know this. Okay, this is advice to myself though. That it's that sometimes he does the same thing, and I respond differently. Mm-hmm. And so, it is totally about checking yourself. Mm-hmm. When your partner's in a bit of a funk, does that mean that you need to fucking be a piece of shit too? Yeah. And it's like sometimes you just need to feel it for them and be stronger or be in it with them, or you know, so that's the thing. It is just hard, plus sleep deprivation and all these things and life's pressures that a child doesn't have to think about, you know.
Have you had any aha moments as a parent where you've realized something that you were doing before or you've changed something and it's made a massive difference?
I mean, any of them have been things for me though, like the meditation, like you just, the not drinking, like that sort of irritability that I reckon I'm just much shorter if I'm drinking. Like, and so they're gradual aha moments that are like cementing a understanding of something. It's like, ah, I see that's what's happening here. But it is like, think about being infuriated and then just sitting in that, like, oh my God, this is, I'm fucking infuriated right now. Like, there's not many times, like, it is challenging. Like, it's so easy to just sit in it and fucking cry because it's that painful. And you're like, crying is easier and better than getting angry. Like, because angry isn't helping Bodhi.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're struggling at the moment. Just, and it's interesting because things are going well, but things are going well for us. Things are going well for the business. You know, we've got a great new place. Like, so much to be grateful for, but you can still feel fucking out of control, like a lot of parents do. I know Shannon, who listens and messaged me, and she's struggling too. And I'm like, fuck. It's like her stuff is, it is what parents go through is very similar. Like, you're all feeling it. It's like, wow, we are. The experience of parenting is very similar for a lot. And so then you get angels that are just like, you know, but I'm sure they'll come and bite you on the bum when you're when they're teenagers.
It's also like, it's not necessarily like, I think that part of it is, it's like, why do people feel the need to give feedback, or why do people want, like, say, oh, this is how you should do it, or what about this, or what about that?
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah. I think there's, from the outside looking in, it is very easy to see a fix. It's like advice is the most easy thing to give when you're not fucking feeling the emotion of it being your own child. And so when you see, and I'd do the same. If I'm looking at someone, I could say, oh, this is what I'd do right now.
Yeah.
That is easy. There's nothing hard about that.
But the because you've got clarity, the shit
you don't have emotion.
Like, yeah, like,
no.
The interesting thing, like, it's like me. Like, I always feel great when I fucking do the washing and get all these things done. Like, the things that people tell me that I should do, get on an exercise. But, like, there is a reason why these are common ideas. Meditate, or like, because they actually work.
No, exactly. But that's where the lack of consideration being that at that moment someone giving you feedback about how to parent is not taking into consideration or not being empathetic with that kid probably being with you since they've woken up, and it's 10 hours since they have been to sleep. And so all those other hours, so yes, you've got the answer, and yes, I think that you saying to make sure that you reinforce the thing that you just said you're going to discipline them with, but then they do it and you don't. Yes, that's fucking true. Of course it is. But that doesn't take into consideration just you being at a 1% in your tank and so many other things. Like,
so what happens with like community parent or like community responsibility when it comes to, or like extended family or things like that? Don't you think that there should be some level of buy-in for the people around children beyond their parents?
Oh, dude, I that's definitely, I'm not saying if you're in your family, you shouldn't say anything because it's not your kid. I don't believe that. It is just about being sensitive about how you approach these things. So it's, you know, you don't like a piece of advice that you probably know you should be fucking taking in the moment.
And it's, you know, not like part of it is like, it's not like, I guess people would say it's not your business. It's not your problem to per se. It's not your business. It's judgmental. It's all these sorts of things. But then I also, I think about it from the perspective of how you and I approach many things. I think that the uniqueness in what we do is like, we're talking about everything. Like, we're like, from a business perspective, how we're going to do, like, we're constantly strategizing. And so it's interesting having a close friend who has a kid who you have these conversations with or whatever, but it feels like potentially the parent journey seems like a lonely one. Like it seems like there's a lot of identity and pride and all of these sorts of things of like, and stoicism in we're doing it our way, or, and this isn't even stuff that you've said. I just feel like this is the common concept. Like this is the perspective for most when it comes to parenting.
Yeah, 100%. But I don't think it's necessarily, it may seem like that, but I don't know if parents across the border are being stoic because they're not taking advice on it. It's everything from, it's all that, what I was talking to of, maybe the thing, it's like when I try and fix Amy's problems when she tells me a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe what they need in that moment is a fucking hand on the back and saying, are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, the
this is a better reason to cry on the show than you exactly. Fucking pussy.
I mean, are you okay?
It's so fucking emotional. Being a parent is so fucking emotional. Like, it's, think about, feel like when you're a kid, how much you feel stuff. Like, it instantly connects you back to being a kid. Like, yeah, it's not, I'm not fucking sad at all, but it's it's amazing how it does get your emotions going.
And what do you think it, like, what's the actual, what is the emotion then?
I don't know. It's a weird one because I'm not crying out of being sad at all. It's like when you get, so if someone was to say to you, you know, I've become emotional as a parent, it's like, I don't know, maybe it taps you into something that you feel a bit more and you're a bit more vulnerable. And so, because being a parent, there is, you're open to so many more things that could go wrong, like the consideration of a child being sick or the birth not going right. Like, these are fucking things that you confront when you realize that your wife's pregnant. And that's confronting because I'm like, I don't want to fucking confront that. But then I don't have much option but to. And so, yeah, it's fucking tough. It's tough.
And so, like, do you feel the pressure to be doing the right thing? Or like, well, how you
want
do
to
you do? Know,
I think it's the pressure to do the right thing by the child. You want the best for the child, and so then it's like that's when I think you probably feel when you haven't done the right thing, as in you've reacted when you know that hasn't been what needed to have happened in that moment, whether it be, you know, yelled or you know, put in the room and closed the door because you can't fucking handle it anymore. But it's And so, yeah, that's where the guilt and all of that shit happens. And it's just tough times at the moment.
Where do you think it changes from having a three-year-old versus having a teenager? Do you have any sense of difference is going to be?
I think it's literally just you're resetting. Like, I don't think – maybe it gets easier, but I think about myself as a kid, teenager – the shit I got up to, you know, the fucking people who didn't make it out, this, like, from the teenage years that I was, you know, my mates. And so that's where it's like, oh God, I can't, you'd want to pull the pin if you fucking really delved into all the different stages and what it's going to bring. And so really you have to be ignorant to what's ahead, even though you know that it is ahead, but take for now what it is and try and do your best.
If it is such an emotional, personal thing, and then you have the realization that you're parenting with someone else, how does that mesh? How do your personal emotions, which are connected to your childhood, how do they meet?
Oh yeah. I think there can be friction. It's like two people having different money stories. I don't care about debt. You know, I'll go into... I'm not saying that's me, but like I've got, you know, card. And then the other person... but I do love a credit card.
Yeah, fucking,
this show's run on credit cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Get your frequent flyers. But and then the other person's like anti-debt, doesn't want it, wants to have make sure they've got the savings, got the buckets in order, you know, the barefoot strategy. Mm-hmm. That's going to cause friction. So I don't think it's as clear cut as probably a money story, but definitely the parenting thing with a partner, there's what you're saying about external parenting from people looking in. You do that with your own partner. Yeah. You're like, mate, I would be doing that differently. Mm-hmm. And that's not fucking productive either.
But also there's something in the, like with, if you look at how we see business and how you have revenue, lead, lag, all of these like metrics and goal setting and all of this sort of stuff. And then you have the lifestyle, culture. Like I think there's a lot of similarities in some regards, because it's like maybe sometimes that feedback, it's like someone who's running a culture-based business getting told, having specific questions or thoughts or advice based on how to increase revenue. Does that make sense? It feels like there's the obvious, right? So there's the obvious, which is like you watch Super Nanny. Do you remember Super Nanny?
Unacceptable.
Super Nanny? Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
And so with like you need all of this structure and you need to be doing this thing and you need to be and then you have the reality of creating a good experience for a child. Like, is that a good experience versus going out and just being free-spirited and all of that sort of thing?
It's massive responsibility, because then you think about how you reflect on your childhood and the approach that was taken, or the thought in your childhood and not really understanding what approach was taken. I don't think I feel like I know what approach was taken by my parents, other than they fucking loved me and they would do anything, and they cared about what I wanted and what I was thinking.
Do you feel like you were trying to recreate what your parents did for you? I guess like most people have like one of two ways, or it's like, I guess you're doing a bit of a hybrid where it's like...
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that's pretty fucking spot on is a loving environment. Mm-hmm. Child understanding how much they mean to you and that they're loved and being there for them and making them feel safe, like all these core needs. Mm-hmm. So there's ticking the boxes there, because not everyone nails that. Mm-hmm. And so nailing some of those, which build, you know, the fundamentals of their human, you know, experience, and plus the other stuff like understanding boundaries and all of this stuff. Like, there's so much going on in that game.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth talking about, because I think that like you're not alone. I think that even people without the challenges of having kids are struggling.
Yeah.
And so then you add, a few human bodies that fucking need to be looked after and cared for. Like, I can imagine it's extremely tough.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll be fending Bodie off from eating my birthday cake that Amy made.
Yeah, I've heard.
That's my day.
Have you eaten? You're going to eat the whole thing, weren't you?
I know. I had one slice last night and it was small.
Did Amy make that?
She made it. She's a freak.
How did she make it? When did she make it? Did you see her making it?
Mate, mothers are superheroes.
Where'd she make
it? Can be a mother. They can do a bunch of work and fucking make a double-decker Rocky Road cake for her 32nd birthday.
Do you know what it reminded me of? Like, there's... I'm not going to be able to find it, but I think it was Rugrats.
Oh, yeah.
In Rugrats, there was like a scene with like a chocolate cake. You know, like cartoons have a really good way of like creating a cake that you just want to eat. I'm typing in Rugrats cake, and unfortunately, it's just all parents have made Rugrats cakes for their kids. But I love cake.
All right.
Everyone, look after yourselves. I mean, the thing, it's a I think that the friction is, it's like, it's not coming from a judgmental place either. When people are like, I think from an empathetic perspective. I see why advice is the worst thing in a lot of ways, and it just triggers and it doesn't help. And then you see, you and I have seen how we do that with our own partners, where it's like we want to help, and it's like, oh, we see when you see the obvious, it feels like, oh fuck, I need to show, I need to say something, or maybe I could help, or whatever it is. And so I think that that's an interesting challenge for other people. It's like, oh no, well that's not your job. I don't even think it's necessarily about. The interesting thing is, it's not even coaching. Like you look at like Michael Bungay Stania, where it's like, you know, the advice monster, don't do advice or whatever. But I don't even think necessarily that there is a place at the moment for conversations. If I was to ask questions around, like to try and get to that point, it's like, I don't think that's the answer either.
Yeah, it's delicate, and most likely the time that you feel like you want to give a piece of advice is probably at a highly emotional moment, because that's when advice comes to your head when you're in a scenario where shit is like, oh, I see the problem. This is fucking clear as day to me.
Well, because most of the time also we don't give, like I think that our default is shut up, don't give advice. And so there's normally a trigger point, seeing your friend struggle or whatever it is, to be like, oh, maybe like, maybe this or that. And that's the same thing with you with like food with me, where it's like, it's so tempting when you see someone being like, man, I want to fucking, I want to get ripped. It's like, mate, you had two burritos for dinner. Just, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
But you can't, but you it's know, like, there is a better, point, where, yeah, but there is a point where it's like, you recognize, it's like, oh, actually like that's, saying the burrito thing isn't actually going to move you closer to being ripped. Like, cause Josh knows that he doesn't like, so it's that whole thing of everyone knows the obvious. Everyone knows what they need to do. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, we know what to do, but we don't do what we know. It's a classic line.
Great.
Anyway, great. Happy
Daily Hunter Talk Show. Love you, TJ.
Love you guys. Love you, Josh.
Catch you guys. Have a good one. Enjoy your day. See you guys.